Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today. The
score! This hour is brought to you by Menards. Save big money at Menards.
Steve Stoke.
When I started out, and Harry was my partner, he said to me, "You will find your identity." It turned out that I felt that my identity was going to be to teach as many people as I could the game of baseball.
White Sox TV analyst.
Being an analytics guy, I would have known that a sub-6-foot-tall right-handed starting pitcher in the major leagues, the odds were infinitesimal. But if there was a contest that had a winner, I could never understand why it shouldn't be me.
Social media god.
A lot of people love you, especially the people you haven't blocked.
I've been blocking more than Tom Brady's line.
Steve Stoke with Bernstein and Holmes on The Score.
Let's talk some baseball with Steve Stone here on Sports Radio 670 The Score. He's on Twitter at Steve Stone, the White Sox TV analyst, joins us on The Score Hotline. That's brought to you by Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas, home of the world's largest sports book. Stoney, how are you?
Good, Dan. How are you, Layla?
Well, Steve, we happen to be listening to the Thursday broadcast of the White Sox versus the Giants with you and Jason Benetti on NBC Sports Chicago. And we heard about your side hustle in the minor leagues.
That was hysterical.
Well, you can't beat that, you know?
Just hysterical.
It was fantastic for many reasons. Not just that you were selling prepaid funerals, but that you were also part of the welcome wagon.
It wasn't at the same time. I had left the prepaid funerals. It was fairly depressing. And I got into this thing which was like a welcome wagon approach. You sold to businesses, and then they put your name with a coupon, and, you know, I don't know how many people were moving in a month, but it was a lot of them, and they got all of these packages when they came in.
Did you get recognized for previously being the guy selling the funerals when you became part of the welcome wagon?
No, I did not. I think it was a different clientele.
So as the White Sox get set to finalize their roster, do you know what the latest is regarding Yoan Moncada's status? Is he okay? Is he going to be on the roster? Does that mean Leury sticks around longer than we thought?
Well, Leury still has a couple more years to go on that contract. So, you know, whether he's going to be there or not, I would assume that he's going to be around somewhere. As far as Moncada is concerned, nobody said anything to this point. So they don't have to solidify that roster. They got two more games left with the Cubs, and then it's on to Houston, where I think somewhere before that they'll have to solidify their roster. But I think the guys who are going to be there definitively, like Oscar Colas, they already know that they're going to break with the club.
Oh, that is exciting. We were trying to figure that out. I knew it was incredibly likely, like a very high likelihood, but just to hear that from a more official voice is good. Solidifying that before Thursday is nice to know. What have you seen out of him? Because he did have a bit of a up and down in spring training to earn his way through here. I don't think that path was just given to him.
No, I mean, he started out swinging the bat really well, and then as so often happens, the younger hitters kind of cool off somewhat. We'll see when he heads into the regular season. And again, I don't think they've made I don't think they've made the official announcement, but I think that people around realize that he's probably the best candidate right now for the right field spot. And if you do bring him to the major leagues, you have to start him. He's at 24 years old. He's one of those guys that he needs at-bats, whether they're here or in the minor leagues, but you just can't bring him here and then use him as a swing man. If you're bringing him here, he's going to get the majority of play in right field. So what's going to happen is the breaking balls of all of these pitchers are going to get sharper, both the curveballs and the sliders, as soon as they head to regular season play and get out of Arizona. So it's not going to be quite as easy during the season as it is now. But he looks like he can hit, and he does give the team exactly what they need, which is some left-handed power. I think he played certainly reasonably well defensively. He ran the bases okay. He's not going to be a burner, but he can give this team one of the things they truly need, and that's why they're looking to him.
When you observe Pedro Grifol as a teacher to this point, I do think it's clear, and I have no reason to doubt him at his word, about maintaining a standard for a certain quality of play. Have you seen him teach, or have you seen him respond to a perceived mistake or a misread? I'm just wondering how it manifests itself. And everyone loves the Bobby Cox, Andrew Jones, pull a guy off the field, but we know that that's uncommon. Do you know, is it maybe in the tunnel or maybe on the bench, or maybe send one of his lieutenants to go over and just have a note? But it appears that this stuff is going to go on in real time.
Well, one of the things that Pedro said was he doesn't mind seeing mistakes in spring training. Excuse me. But then those mistakes are things you can correct immediately. And one of the things that I've talked about this, which told me a whole lot about Pedro and his entire staff, was when they were congratulating Pedro for a fine play that Colas made in center field, a fine catch. And Pedro said, yeah, it was a good catch, but I'm more concerned about the missed cutoff man after the catch. And so he's looking at all of the details, and he's dealing with them immediately, whether it's in the dugout, whether it's in the locker room, whether it's after the game or the next day, whatever it is. He doesn't let it sit too long, and if he sees something that he wants to change, he goes and changes it. I think the entire coaching staff is like that. And to me, Charlie Montoyo is going to play a big role as the bench coach. I mean, this is a guy that was a major league manager with Toronto and had a very good team, and I thought managed them very well. And I think it was a great hire as far as the Sox were concerned, because I think Pedro understands the game of baseball. I think he can teach the game of baseball, but the fact is he's never managed a major league game. Charlie has, so they're going to be a good tandem. And from what I've seen of this coaching staff, they are leaning on one another, understanding the autonomy in certain areas of one another. But if they have something to say, they will say it as a group. And, you know, a cohesive coaching staff is a good thing to have in the game that we're playing today.
I think that's a great point about Montoya. We probably haven't talked about him enough, what he brings. He's so widely liked by so many people. It was such a shock when he got let go in Toronto. What do you know about him that you think is going to really help this team?
Well, first of all, I think you can judge a manager by just how much his team hustles. And I do believe Toronto came in, played us, I believe, a four-game series. And they pretty much ran us out of the ballpark. I mean, they hustled each and every play. When they got a base hit, they were looking for two. When they went from first to third, they were looking to score. That was a very aggressive team, and they ran the bases pretty well, especially in that series against us, which was why I was certainly shocked a couple weeks later when they fired him. And I have yet to get the story from him. He promises to tell me when the season starts, when we have a little more time than during spring training when you're doing a whole lot of teaching all the time. But I'd be anxious to hear it, because I really respected him as a manager, and I thought his team played well for him. And just as the time where he got that really good team together was the time they asked him to leave. So I think their firing turned out to be the best thing, or one of the best things that happened to the Sox this year, was bringing Charlie along, because, yes, he is a very likable guy, but he's a good baseball man, and he understands how to manage a game of baseball, and he'll be invaluable for Pedro on the bench.
What happens with Berger?
Good question. I don't know. That's probably yet to be determined. I mean, I'm sure they're going over every nuance of who, you know, who can make it, who can't. You know, sometimes, Dan, it comes down to, do you have options left? Because if you don't have options and you don't want this guy on the roster, you know you're going to lose him. But if you have options and you want to use this guy as an insurance policy, then you can send him down. So sometimes those options are not necessarily to the advantage of the player. They certainly are to the advantage of the organization.
Yeah, I just wonder if they can afford to not have that right-handed stick on this particular roster, looking at how they're going to manage things. You know, this is my speculation, Steve, but it seems to me like Kolas indeed is going to be the everyday right fielder, but maybe against a tough lefty starter, like, you know, the guy they're going to see Thursday night, they're not going to expose him to some of that stuff at this stage of his career. That might mean that could be when Eloy Jimenez gets a little more of that carrot, that opportunity to play some outfield and, you know, reward him for coming in pretty good shape. So I guess Berger could DH in those situations, because I don't even know how they're going to deploy Hanser Alberto at this point, who seems to have won a spot.
Well, Hanser had just a wonderful spring. I mean, he did everything right. And when you invite a guy to spring training, usually you tell him, look, you have a good spring, you're going to make this team. Otherwise, you wouldn't come to a spring training with a team if you had no chance to make it. You go with somebody else. So when you look at the spring that Alberto had, you realize that he has pretty much forced his way onto this team. I mean, it was a great spring. And how they're going to use him, your guess is as good as mine. But he can play all over the infield, which is always very good. And Jake Berger gives you, I mean, if it's going to be Jake, and I don't know that, he gives you an insurance policy at third and first base because he can play them both. Not going to win a gold glove, but I don't think he's going to embarrass you at either place. So it gets really difficult. You know, you got 26 spots. You get some that are definitively given away. That's not an issue. But there's usually one or two spots in the bullpen, and usually a spot or two in the dugout for those guys who play every day or play multiple positions. And how it's going to shake out, anyone's guess is as good as mine. Sometimes there's some deals to be made at this point, but other times, you know, you got a Rule 5 draft in Avila. If he doesn't make the team, you got to offer him back to San Francisco. And from all that I've heard, San Francisco would take him back. So we'll see if the Sox feel comfortable leaving him off and exposing him, you know, back to San Francisco. So there's a lot of things that are not necessarily the best 26 players, but there's some political aspects to these final cuts.
Do you think you have a definitive answer on who's going to be the DH or in right field on opening day?
I have no definitive answer.
Man.
But I like the philosophy that Dan had, because I would have the same thing myself. You know, it's really difficult to hit major league pitching when you don't have a backlog of experience, and Oscar doesn't have much minor league experience. And the pitchers are going to get sharper, and the left-handers, they're going to get, you know, the guy we're facing, Framber Valdez, is really good. I don't think I would, personally, I wouldn't expose Oscar to him. I would wait, you know, you're going to face a lot of right-handers. Oscar will get plenty of playing time. I just don't think they want to start him against Valdez, but you never know. We'll see what's on Pedro's mind. He's made no announcements to this point that I know of.
And also, looking at this, it would mean if the roster, as our guy James Fegan, who's going to join us in about 45 minutes, as he looks at it, it's at the moment guys like Jake Marisnyk, another non-roster invite, Billy Hamilton, non-roster invite, would be on the outside looking in. Yet some had speculated that with the rules changes and the bigger bases and the possibility of more stolen bases, it might be nice, if not a luxury in this case, to have that late-inning speedster a possibility as well.
Dan, there's a lot of possibilities. It just depends on how they want to put it together. And as I was saying, the Rule 5 drafts, the guys with no options, I don't have a list of those guys. But if you have some, well, it's easier to send down. But, you know, you bring these guys into spring training, if they don't make the team, you usually give them permission to go any place else they want to go, and then you lose them as that insurance policy. So we'll just have to wait. Nothing definitive at this point. We'll see what happens.
What is on your list of starting pitching concerns, whether it is so far velocity-related, performance-related, any individual pitch? And I know that pitches behave differently in spring training, but is there anything that is still catching your eye as something is a wait-and-see on?
Well, Michael Kopech last time out didn't have good stuff, and he didn't have good velocity, but I was told afterward that he was battling some sort of a virus, not COVID-related, but a different type of virus. So that's kind of to be expected. But as far as the starting pitching, I think the starting pitching is going to be a big strength for our team. I think we have the best starting pitching in the division. I think that if they can stay together and do what I think they can do, it's going to be a really good staff, and they're going to help protect the bullpen. Maybe not the first time through because you don't know how long they're going to go, but eventually we're going to get to the point where we'll see these guys go deeper in the games, and that's when they're going to really help the bullpen. I mean, Lance Lynn is going to go deep in games. Cease is going to go deep in games. I would think Giolito is going to go deep in games, and then we just have to see what happens, you know, toward the back end of this. So right now, I think, you know, Clevinger probably is not going to go deep in games, and I don't think Michael Kopech will go deep in games, but that's when you know, the bullpen will come into play. But I'm not concerned about the starting rotation.
Stoney, we will have real baseball to talk about when we convene next. Happy season to you, and good luck for embarking on, how many seasons in Major League Baseball will this be for you?
This is my 54th, I believe.
Wow. That's fantastic.
As many years as I have been on this planet.
It's been a long run. I never thought about the fact that it would get to this point, but it's gotten to this point. And you know, when I see Al McCoy down here still broadcasting at 90, gives me a little hope that there's some life after 75.
I would pay to see you broadcasting at 90. That's going to be awesome. That's going to be fantastic. I can't wait for that. You think it's fun now. Wait until then.
No days off, Stoney.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Only in the off season.
Thanks,
for
Steve.
That's terrific. Thank you. Talk to you guys later.
Thanks,
bye.
Steve.
That's Steve Stone. When we return, I don't know any Serbian swear words. I probably have heard them.
We got Serbian listeners, that I know.
Yeah, but we got to be careful because FCC rules forbid us swearing in any language. We almost got in trouble for that some years ago.
Well, some are more obvious.
With a Japanese epithet that we did not understand in a movie clip that we played.
Oh, dear.
Yes.
Well,
and I think it was Gene Honda that told us, like, yeah, you can't.
You can't say that.
You can't say that.
I can't do Gene Honda voice. That's impossible.
But, yeah, there was an ejection last night that the Bulls on the road were able to overcome with a win that proved some continued resiliency from this still annoying basketball team. So
that started out so well, and then you just fell off your own cliff.
Well, because I know what they are, I know what they're not, and I know that I'm not going to be able to stay up for all of the game tonight anyway. I'll have to watch the rest of it.
All right, my turn. Hey, Dan!
What?
The Bulls beat the Lakers.
Woo-hoo!
With LeBron. It was there at Crypto or whatever they're calling that place now downtown.
Let's talk about it next.
Yeah!
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Dan Bernstein, Lawrence Holmes, middays 10 to 2 on 670 The Score and 670thescore.com in Odyssey Station.
James with an up and under and a block by Booch, and they're going to call a foul. Sean Corbin, a veteran official whose 27th year has just teed up Nikola Vucevic.
Wow.
Oh, and we got Booch out. Booch has been ejected.
Wow.
We have not seen this since he arrived with the Chicago Bulls from Orlando. Nikola Vucevic has been ejected with 62 seconds left in the first half.
So it was Sean Corbin that got him. They were showing Tony Brothers, so I thought it was Tony that got him. The veteran referee and fan of The Score, by the way.
Wait, what? Tony Brothers? Really?
Yeah, there's a couple of refs, Chicago-based refs that love this guy. I know, Tony's one of them, and James Capers Jr., also big Score guy.
Did not know that.
Yeah. And so Vooch said he was swearing in Serbian. Sorry, though. They may not know the word, but they know the tone.
Suddenly you can't cuss at a game when something's happened. Oh, come on.
But not directly at a referee. Maybe you're just better off not saying anything.
Or you're in the vicinity.
Yeah.
I was swearing in your vicinity.
No.
Wasn't like at you.
They know when it's right. If he just said, go in Serbian and do that to your mom while you're at it, they can tell. They could, so there's an obvious intent to insult the referee there. And they're like, no, uh-uh.
Well, it didn't matter much, obviously. That game was all Bulls.
Well, it didn't matter as much because Andre Drummond came in and moved around okay and threw his weight around a little bit. Every time I thought the Bulls would break them and the Lakers would just be like, okay, fine. All right, you got us today. They didn't. Yeah. And the Lakers were able to stay connected by hitting threes, but the Bulls, God, Zach is just playing such great basketball right now. He is something to watch, and he's not shying away from long threes, which are good shots. And even DeMar DeRozan was stepping himself into threes, not last second, last ditch, but catching, and it was for him to get the momentum he needs, rather than a true catch and shoot, it's almost like a false dribble action where he can be moving as if he's dribbling, and he's figured it out a little bit that that's a good shot for him too. And he hit consecutive threes that were huge in that game.
Well, and they weren't cheap either.
Right.
That was solid distance. And we've said it a million times ever since the Bulls acquired him. The more threes DeMar tries to take, the better off the team is. He had a casual double-double, too. That was also very impressive to me, 17 and 10. I'll take that. I'll take that 100%. That was outstanding to see him with 10 assists. But Zach LaVine, the run that he is on, is you can say it's consistent. This has been since the All-Star break.
Since the break, this thanks to Jeff Farrer, who sent this in. He's a friend of the show and a good friend of the organization's Win Championships podcast. Always provides stuff for us as well. Thank you for that. Organizations Win Championships. Yeah, we had some fun with it in the last episode. He called me a butt munch again.
Can we say that?
Can we? I think so. I think it's the second time it's happened on the podcast.
All right. Well, but the podcast has different.
I know those rules are very different.
Correct.
You can even swear in Serbian there.
I just want to know some Serbian cuss words.
You have a Serbian friend.
He's on vacation.
Slavko?
Yeah. He'll be back, but I know there's more than one Serbian listener to this show.
We could call Ed Obradovich.
Yeah, anything.
I guarantee you he knows all kinds of colorful Serbian swear words.
But seems like something fun to know.
According to Jeff Fair, Zach LaVine, in the 15 games since the All-Star break, he is averaging 29.3 points on 54.5% shooting. That includes 45.4% from three, making three threes a game. In that span, the Bulls are 10-5.
Mm-hmm.
That's a huge part of it. And DeMar DeRozan, I was worried after the injury that he wasn't going to be himself, especially defensively. He was good. Kobe White's been terrific.
Yes. Kobe White has... I feel like he's just been a solid part of the bench unit that has complemented when it comes to shot selection. And then also, we're not talking about just the work he's done in ball handling, I think, enough, even though we've mentioned it here and there throughout the season. It's just showing. And you see some of the defensive efforts he's made as well recently, or even just the sequence after that Derrick Jones Jr. block, in double overtime against Philly, Derrick Jones reads the scouting report, knows exactly what to do. That turns the other way into Kobe White smartly getting fouled, going to the line and making those two free throws. Just the details.
It was interesting to me to see the way things moved without Vooch. The other thing was it took away Stacey King's like broadcasting pet, because he always gets so excited when Vooch gets the ball, and he always wants them to play through Vooch. And they do, but, and I'm not saying that it carries over or it's necessarily sustainable, but when a piece is taken away, you learn a lot about your team and you learn a lot about your coach and about what you're asking different personnel to do in a game like that. So I didn't think it was insignificant that not having that guy to play through changed things, that they weren't always looking to get him his touches close to the basket, because I'll politely disagree with Stacey on some of that stuff. I don't like contested twos. Even, you know, if they're what used to be considered a good shot, because if you got a big guy with somebody in between him and the basket, the numbers are what they are. And I would rather that be a Zach 3. I would rather that be a Kobe White 3. I would rather that be a Patrick Williams 3.
I think it's contextual, because it comes to how the shape of the defense is affected, because this offense is so perimeter oriented to the top of the lane. Like, that's typically where the players are situated. So I feel like that's probably the request. But when it comes to also a time of evaluation, let's be honest, where Vooch is a free agent at the end of the season, nobody knows which way he's leaning in all of this. I am curious to see how the team plays against a good opponent without him too, just to see what that is. You want to at least have that information. And as far as your bench is concerned, the Bulls bench coming through in plus minus speaks to what we have seen so far, because Andre Drummond was plus 20 off the bench yesterday. That's significant. Kobe plus 19. And then I'd assume a plus 14 off of the bench with 8 points, 4 assists. So I feel like those numbers do add up when you consider the work that unit has done. They were the only thing working for the Bulls last Wednesday. But it was nice to see them get a win against Portland and then translate that into another against the Lakers.
Yeah, I'd like to go through some of these box scores and look at their three-point production pre-break and post-break here. Because, man, the primary reason why the Bulls won the game was they were 14 of 31 from three.
45%.
They made 14 threes. DeMar made both of his. LaVine made two, White made three, Io made two, Derrick Jones made two, Patrick Williams, Patrick Beverly, Alex Caruso each with one. They actually played big boy basketball. They actually won a game the way real teams win games, not some weirdo way that the Bulls have won games. And the other thing, too, is when they get a lead, there are times where I don't mind DeMar doing DeMar things, when you're up in the fourth quarter and you want to bleed a shot clock down and then make the most of it with something at the very end of the shot clock, that's the perfect time for it. Go do your thing.
But not in the second quarter against, say, the Indiana Pacers.
When you've got everything going. But that's the time. That's the closer stuff when you're up and all you're trying to do is keep the other team from coming back, and you know at the very least you're going to get a couple of free throws out of it. You might get an and one.
But you know the concern wasn't so much about the made three percentage. The Bulls were always high in that. It was the three-point attempts
volume
that they were woefully low in.
Volume, take more. And if that means LaVine has to take another step back, that's okay. That's still a good shot for him.
Well, his catch-and-shoot three is his bread and butter. As long as there's an acceptable number of those in a game, at least attempts, I will be a happier person about it all. But I do want them to play through Vooch because it does change the shape of the opposing defense.
But then I want Vooch to hit threes too.
Because you're creating better looks. You know, you just are. You're creating better open looks for people. Especially like, you know, that corner three is not as likely now with Lonzo not being there. That was like his shot. But I don't mind. I am curious, as much as I've liked Vooch's year, I am curious to see how that team looks without him. You just want to know.
And they're going to, if the difference between being 7 or 8 or 9 or 10 is that extra game. Now, the way that play-in tournament is structured, if you're 7 or 8, you only got to win one.
Will talked to me about this last night on Sports Sunday, Will Perdue, and I don't know why he decided to be a human algorithm, but he did. And he was going through all the scenarios because the Bulls have a span of 5 games in 8 days. And he mentioned the crucial point of getting the tiebreaker with the Hawks, because that could set them up for potentially getting Brooklyn in the playoffs. And that's a team who's making the playoffs now based on a record and a team that doesn't exist. So that's more favorable than what could happen if those tiny, tiny details aren't observed. But Clippers tonight, we got to see who's going to be available.
I'm not.
Dan is not available for the Clippers game tonight.
It starts at 9:30. Like, what are we supposed to? What do you do if you're Mully and Haw or Brody and Haw?
I've always wondered about that. The midday show, we get a little bit of an easier draw that way.
Yes.
I'm going to be up because I get off work at 11:15. Last night was midnight for some reason. But I want to see who's playing in that game. Because there was an availability issue there, I think. So was it Kawhi? We didn't know if Kawhi was going to be available.
And everyone is suggesting the various Google translates for learning how to swear in Serbian. We had Serbian the other night. There's a restaurant near me that it used to be Bosnian, and then it changed owners. But it's called 016. It's on Lincoln, just south of Foster. It's outstanding. They have, you know, that stuff, Kajmak, the K-A-J-M-A-K. It's a like a fermented sour cream. They have a version at 016. One of the dishes we had was smoked kajmak.
Mm.
Man, I am telling you. Like, you want that place is excellent. And because my son was like, hey, what do you want to get? Let's go out for dinner. So let's go for Serbian. Because what's that? I said, well, you're about to find out.
I
said, be hungry.
There's a huge Serbian population here.
Yeah, they had an awesome bean soup, too, like a bean with it. But they did it instead of what would be with ham, like a navy bean with ham. They did it with a dried smoked beef that was phenomenal.
That sounds excellent.
Oh, so good.
Also, the random laughing was me reading Serbian cuss words on the text line. Thank you for educating me today. I appreciate it. Always fun to learn cuss words in different languages.
Yeah, you got to be careful with them, though, depending on where you're using them.
Well, I mean, I have a guy to talk to about this. I just needed to know some information right now.
Yeah, this looks. And then the other thing we got the calf's liver that had whipped feta.
Whipped feta is
like really light whipped feta and this big, yummy, minerally sautéed calf liver.
Sweet. Hey,
so
Dan.
Good. What?
We got a request to talk some Cubs, and we have some breaking Cubs news on the score.
What's that?
Maybe we should tell them about it next.
Yes, I think we absolutely should. So if you're a fan of the Cubs, you're going to want to stick around. I should mention, too, that when we talked White Sox with Stoney.
And funerals.
Opening day, April 3rd, Bernstein and Holmes show live, 670 The Score, 10 to 2 at Cork and Cary at the Park, 33rd in Princeton. You can enjoy an ice-cold Miller Lite before the White Sox take on San Francisco. Brought to you by Miller Lite. Tastes like Miller time, Chicago. Celebrate responsibly.
Cork is a lot of fun.
We're doing Cubs stuff on Thursday as well. We'll let you know about that as well as the breaking news next on The Score.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medella is your reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
You're listening to Bernstein and Holmes, middays 10 to 2. Your midday destination for Chicago sports talk on 670 The Score in Odyssey Station.
Mitch Dansby crushes one to center field. Gavin Cross races back at the wall. It's gone. Herschel running the Cubs uniform for Dansby Swanson. Get used to that.
I'd like to. He had some terrific plays in the field. And what was the story? Apparently David Ross said something to him and he responded and then they wouldn't tell anybody exactly what was said. He said, Rossi gave me a hard time today. So it kind of got me going. So what did he say?
Yeah, that's what inspired us showing Tyler the Cesare's Tourist.
That's right, but we couldn't find it. Did someone send it to you?
Text line sent it to us. Yeah, they sent us the YouTube link three hours ago.
Because it was the preposition about saying getting on his ass or getting...
Hey.
Right.
And then we're family
like,
show.
And then I said, it's not like he gave him the Cesare's Tourist. And then Tyler looked at us like, what the hell are you talking about? So I think we've got it somewhere. So we have to show him after the show, maybe. But you said there was a little bit of breaking news before
yes.
we broke?
Breaking news on 670 The Score is presented by BetQL. Smarter bets start with BetQL. Download the BetQL app or visit BetQL.com today. We have some roster news. Some. Currently, the Cubs roster now sits at 37 because Javier Assad has been assigned to the bullpen. Mike Tauchman sent to the minors.
Okay.
Which is a bit of a surprise when we're trying to figure out who's going to play in right
field. Know what that tells me?
Yes?
Seiya's close.
Oh, no. They know he's close. Apparently, he played defense earlier today, I want to say. But additionally, Roannis Elias has been sent to the minors.
Who?
Roannis Elias.
Roannis Elias?
Yes. No.
Roannis
Elias.
Roannis Elias.
Yes.
Okay.
It's an easy one to slur together.
I've never heard of him.
Left-handed pitcher.
Okay.
So that's the news that we have, at least for now. So that puts the roster at 37.
Right, so a lot more work to be done, but it's good to see if Dansby Swanson is actually coming around. And
yesterday, Seiya Suzuki played defense in a game.
Okay.
In the minors.
And then his wife, Mallory, she's Swanson now, correct?
I still call her Mallory Pugh.
I think she's Swanson now. And I think we had him, Dansby Swanson, actually talking about going to her games or taking teammates to her games.
There was not any nudging. She just wanted me to go somewhere where we would win. So here we are, and it's some, you know, it's a place that we believe in. But it means the world to me to be able to be here with her. Obviously, we just got married, and the last 4 years doing distance was, you know, was D.C. first, then it was Jersey for a little bit, and then it was Chicago, and you know, it could have been tough. It was tough at times, you know, and but being able to fully be in the same city, enjoy life together, you know, as a married couple, being able to serve our purpose together, you know, in God's kingdom is means a lot to each of us. And to be able to now do that together in the same city is pretty amazing. And also, I always complain every year that I don't get to watch her play that much, except for on, you know, my iPad. It's funny, we used to be like on the plane and I'd have her games up and like team would be like huddled around my chair watching her games. So now hopefully we can go be a little rowdy and ruckus at the actual stadium and, you know, cause a little stir. So, but yeah. So it just, it means the world to us.
And they play in Bridgeview, right? Is that, that's where the Red Stars are, I think? Because that's a haul, man. You talk about long distance.
Yeah, it is Bridgeview.
Yeah, if you're, I don't know when, how quickly you can get out there. Like, even if you have a day game and she's got a night game, although the pitch clock is going to help, because that's no fun. That you might as well be all, you know, still long distance as far as watching the games around an iPad if you plan on getting out to Bridgeview from the middle of Wrigleyville.
It's tough, but I think I'm reminded that for baseball players, 24 hours off is like a normal person's 72 hours when it comes to time off in the regular season. They make the most of it, I feel like. Even when they say they didn't do much, something was done.
Well, sometimes that's also why on well-run teams, often veteran teams, it's expected that a manager will let you know, when your days off are, so you can plan some of these elaborate things that you may do, depending on when you're leaving, when you're getting out of there. But no matter what's being said about the pitch clock, this helps everybody with everything in that regard. Players are going to have more personal time now.
I talked to AJ Pierzynski yesterday about it a little bit and asked him, because he's not short of opinions, and him being a catcher and working with one of the masters when it came to that, I was curious about his opinion. I mean, he's obviously for quicker pace,
mm-hmm.
because it helps pitchers. He
worked with Mark Burley for long enough.
The master. But when it comes to how we're going to see that shake out, I think that's... it still remains to be seen just because of how many Max Effort guys. Like, you can't tell me it's not affecting Michael Kopech right now. Bringing it back to the Cubs, though, I am curious about Javier Assad starting the season in the bullpen, because as much as I wanted that, there was also a big faction who wanted him to start in AAA and just be a starting pitcher. So I wonder how that's going to play out, because to me, not only is there a good chance that their starting five is not going to remain their starting five. We still don't know what's happening with Kyle Hendricks. But also, who's to say the Cubs don't trade somebody away at the trade deadline again? Like, this isn't a finished product.
No, and they could be looking to add. I mean, if things go well, this is a year where they might be looking to add rather than sell. But your larger point about Assad, it depends on how he's used and how stretched out he is for spot starts, etc. And is he going to be high leverage at the end? It seems like
he,
that's kind of
set.
It seems like Boxberger and Fulmer is the back end right now.
Right.
Right?
Right. And I think we're still trying to figure out how Cody Hoyer mixes into this.
When?
Yeah. That's it. It's a when. But I think Assad proved a lot during the World Baseball Classic especially, but I still want to see how that shakes out as to how they ultimately want to use him. It's nice to have like somebody who's, you know, spendy bullpen type of thing. It's like, it's luxury item. It's nice to have a guy like that pitching in relief.
Yeah, it's nice to have a generally decent feeling about both baseball teams' chances. That's kind of what's nice.
For now.
For now. And maybe it'll all change and everything will be miserable and horrible, because things tend to go in that direction, because entropy increases and the universe is coming apart. And soon everything will come apart. But what?
Ashes to ashes over here.
It's just a fact. But what, you know, we can enjoy while we're here. You're in Brooklyn. Brooklyn is not expanding. So
what?
It's from Annie Hall.
Ah.
He's not doing his homework. The universe is expanding, and then it's going to break apart. Then there will be nothing. So what's the point? You live in Brooklyn. Brooklyn is not expanding.
That's great.
So when we return, James Fegan, he has put together his best guess for the White Sox roster, and he is more informed about such things than we, and that's why we enjoy having him on weekly. So he'll be here next on The Score.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.